Praise the Lord. Well, we come to the end of Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 35 to 39 in a moment. But what it's talking to us about, that this is the absolute security we have as a believer. It truly is a wonderful blessing. Now, last week we looked at the believer's standing before God, and we saw that it was a wonderful thing to know for certain that because of the work of our Lord and Saviour, that the one who has placed their faith and belief in His finished work is justified. You know, we're right. We've been justified. We've been declared innocent. We've been rendered just. No work on our part. Nothing we could do to stand before God in such a state. The whole work of our justification is in and through Christ coming into this world, sent by the Father, so He can look at us and see not our sin or our filthiness, but through the shed blood of Christ, sins have been washed white as snow because of the work of His Son. And in the blessing, we are not condemned criminals awaiting a trial to suffer some penal sentence. We are sons of God. We are children of the Most High. And we've been taken, in one of my favourite verses, from the dunghill to the palace. And that's where we are, the palace of the King. And the Son of God took a body of flesh in order to die. And in that body of flesh, He did what the law could never have done. He has fulfilled every demand of God's righteousness and holiness. And because of that, God now can be just and justify the ungodly. And we come to this passage of Scripture, which I'm sure is a favourite for many. I think we'll read it together, starting at verse 35. Starting at verse 35, Romans 8. We all there, thus saith the Lord, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We can go home. We can go. We're fine. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. We are absolutely secure in our relationship with God. You see, our position in God's family and the eternal future that awaits us at any moment is sealed. It's done. That's where we stand. You look at the world we live in today, there's nothing secure about it. Everybody is worried about what's going to happen. Houses are going to crash. Economic things are going to fall to pieces. All this sort of stuff. And the truth is, a person cannot really depend upon anything these days. But as believers, we can depend on what God tells us. This is the absolute truth. There's no absolute truth given in this world. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:13 shows us what the world is like, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What do? Deceive themselves and being deceived. That's what they do. They deceive others and they're deceived. And that's the world we live in today. And if it wasn't for the fact, as believers, we know that Jesus is coming again to take us, His bride, the church, out of this world to be with Him, then what hope would we have? Honestly, what would we be looking to? Our bank accounts, the securities of this world, the bricks and mortar? Now, they're all fine, but then they're not eternal. They're not eternal. You know, we have a message of great hope, peace, and this is what the lost souls are looking for. They're looking for something, and they see no security in this life now, and they're very much doubtful about the future. Now, Jeremiah 29:11, as the Lord speaks to His people, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What a blessing. We have an expected end. We know what's going to happen. We're going to be with the Lord. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that which he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until when? The day of Christ. That's it. 1 Peter 1:3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That's a living hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't that amazing? There's a reserve sign in heaven for us. You know, you reserve a table at a restaurant. When you go there, what do you expect? To get the table. If you don't, well, then you tell them, hang on a minute, I've reserved. And our place in heaven is reserved. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And look at the key. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, that's we're assured a home in heaven as well as bright hope for this day that we live in. You know, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. If the Son there sure shall make you, ye shall be free indeed. See, the absolute security we have in Christ sets us free from the worry, the fear, and the doubt. In other words, see, in Christ, we've been put beyond the dangers. Yes, they're there, but we're secure. We've been put beyond that. They're not going to affect us. That's our position in Christ. Now, first of all, we see we're bound in the love of Christ. Verse 35. Ryan, read it for us, brother. So here's another question from Paul. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? The love of Christ. This does not mean our love for him. It's not talking about that. Who shall hinder us from loving Christ? No, this is talking about his love to us. How much he loves us. The end of verse 39 tells us the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we cannot say that we will 100% never forsake the Lord. Don't ever get caught in the trap of thinking, no matter what, I'd die for the Lord. Don't ever get caught into that trap. We may think that. We all have, I'm sure. But we can't say for 100% we'll never do that, but we can be 100% certain we can be absolutely secure that he loves us, and that love will never, ever change. Never, ever change. And the question asked here in Romans 8, what's being asked us is, is there anything that can tear us apart? That's what the word separate's talking about, that can tear us apart from Christ's love. He, the one who loved us so much that he left the glory of heaven, he left the bosom of his Father to come into this world to lay down his life voluntarily for us. Can anything be able to separate us from this love of Christ? What's the answer? Oh, come on, what's the answer? No, that's it. No. Shall tribulation? They said, we may be tried. We may be tested. Although, I don't tell you, where's my wife, Deborah? Aren't there prickly people around? We ought to book, you know, how to deal with prickly people. Oh, there's plenty of them around. It's like rubbing your hand the wrong way up a dog, eh, man? Prickly people, there's many. But shall tribulation? No. We may be tried, we may be tested. There's nothing surer than that's going to happen. What we learn Wednesday night is going to test a few brains. Blessed are those who are persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. For theirs is the... That's it. Listen, if you're being persecuted for unrighteousness' sake, Well, then that's your problem, not mine, amen? But nothing. We are going to face tribulations. When we walk with the Lord, we may have a set of circumstances. It may be just one event that is going to try the quality of our character. Hey, mine was tried here on Friday night when we couldn't get in because someone else was in here. And then I remembered, Dennis, remember the bank didn't give you your bank cards last week. How are you going to respond this week to this one? I thought I did all right. But one event, it's going to test the quality of our character. It could be a distress in the body, and the soul, the spirit. There could be pain. There could be suffering. We may be persecuted beyond reason, beyond what our minds can comprehend. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we're troubled on every side, yet not what? Distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, and this is the beautiful part, but not destroyed. If we are going to live for Christ, that's what we should expect. But there's no reason to for despair, because we have the assurance that our wonderful Savior understands us when we do not even understand ourselves. Listen, sometimes let's be honest, we don't understand our wives all the time, do we? Speak up, guys, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. It's hard work. You know, the hardest thing in the world is when your wife is trying to, what did we say last night? I wanted to have a deep and meaningful conversation with Deborah and she just cracked up laughing. She said, okay then, and it didn't go very far. But it's very hard that a wife can be distressed like anything. We don't know what to say sometimes, do we? And you know what happens? One of the ladies will come in the room, well, how are you? Oh, not too bad. And off they go. And you're going, how do I compete? I can't compete with that. But listen, when we walk with our Lord, when we listen to his direction, he will bring us through no matter what the difficulty is, no matter what it is. No matter what perplexity comes our way, because didn't our Lord not say, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good. I have overcome the world. See, we may well be cast down, but we will not be destroyed. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? No, nothing can. Hey, listen, we may suffer some hunger, but I doubt that very much in our country. But I can tell you there are people in our country who are poor, who are hungry. We may reach the place of not having too many clothes to wear. The peril, the uncertain dangers. Now, Paul described peril for us. Again, in 2 Corinthians 11:26, he's talking about in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Man, I was tired after even thinking about what he went through. There's the sword. We may even die by the sword. But none of those things, not one of them, can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. Not one. Secondly, we can trust in the love of Christ. Verse 36. Who can I pick on? Well, a lot of eyes went down, bro. Oh, I love this. I hope this isn't being recorded. Okay, who can I pick on? Yeah, Reese, you're on.
Killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the
Okay, isn't that as it is written? And that's what I'm thinking. Where was that written? As it was written in Psalm 44:22 says, "Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." You see, all through the ages, God's children have been hated and despised by this world, by the enemies of God, and by the children of the devil. But whenever such terrible persecution has come upon the children of God, when they have been accounted as sheep for the slaughter, when they've been butchered by the sword, when they've been fed to the lions, where they've been burnt at the stake, you know what you'll find in most of the history that you read about these Christians? There's been an increase of devotion and faithfulness amongst the saints. That's the truth. You know, when John Huss preached living by faith and not by the Roman Catholic way, he was burnt at the stake, and they took the rest of his body that didn't burn and chopped it up and chucked it into the river. But he said, "No, I'm going to live by faith." And that's what he did. You see, such persecutions have deepened the believer's love of God, their love for the things of Christ. I was reading of Ferdinand of Austria. He was the Roman Catholic Church Emperor of Prague. And at the Prague Town Hall, it's called Grosser Ring, you can read about it. And the dates are 21st of June, 1621. That's a long time ago, isn't it? 47 men on two different days, some of them the most distinguished people for learning, for their position in society, and a lot of them Christians, as the first group went to their death, the ones still in prison awaiting death started to sing, "Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And it's recorded with hearts undaunted, these brave men were dressed in the best clothes that they had, and it was written down as if they were going to a marriage feast. Isn't that amazing? Remember what Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:24. He said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." Brothers and sisters, when we get to that, we have nothing to worry about. "So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Just before he was put to death, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And you see what he says, henceforth, because of that, he knows there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. "Nay," it says, "in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You see, the questions asked in verse 35, a statement's given in verse 36, and then we're given the answer in verse 37. No, nothing is able to separate me from the love of Christ. Not a thing. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So the question I ask, who could be more than a conqueror? Can anyone tell me? Who can be more than a conqueror? The one who cannot be conquered. That's who it is. We can't be conquered in Christ. But listen, write it down somewhere. We are not conquerors through our own ability. We're not conquerors through our own strength. It's through him who loved us. Now, if the Lord Jesus loved us so much to leave heaven's glory, to come to earth and suffer all because of the will of his Father, suffer as no man has ever suffered, will he not surely provide victory for those that love him? Thirdly, relying on Christ. Verse 38 and 39. Who have I got? Deborah. Now, people remember, I've got to go home.
She's not
Daubeny. No, that's it. That's it. Verses 38 and 39. Amen. Amen. It's just lovely to hear your wife speak. Amen.
Amen.
There you go. Hardly any men said amen there. Come on, guys. It works both ways. Listen, God gave these words to Paul through the Holy Spirit. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no other person who was able to say these words given to us here. Because you look at Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. And verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, beside all of that, that which cometh upon me daily, the daily thing he had also on top of that was the care of all the churches. Listen, caring for one church is, I couldn't imagine caring for three or four at a time. What a burden it must have been on his shoulders. Most of the pastors I know are putting in 50 to 60 hours a week. But he's thoroughly persuaded. He was, in other words, he's completely relying upon what Christ had accomplished in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You know, what a victory this, what a blessing to our souls and our walk with the Lord when we come to that same place in our hearts and minds. Listen, death cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Life cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Angels cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Principalities cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Powers cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Now, powers, no matter how evil they may be, no matter how wicked or how many there may be, they cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Things present, things that are with us now. You'll be going, oh, what things are with me now? Let me tell you something, as I mentioned this morning. There's the lust of the eyes. There's the lust of the flesh. There's the world system that's out there. One that's promoting alcohol and drugs. And there are many of them, but not one of them can separate us from the love of Christ. Not one. All of hell cannot separate a believer from the love of Christ. Then it says things to come. What's some of the things to come? What might we worry about? We've got the fall of countries, haven't we? What else have we worried? Tell me, give me one. Pardon?
Petrol,
everything. The whole system, the economic system, the government system. Any wicked invention, all hell cannot separate the believer from the love of Christ. He says, nor height, anything in the high heavens, nor depth, anything as deep as hell may be, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God covers all the questions. And just in case someone might try and come up with something and say, well, hang on a minute, none of those things have separated me from the love of Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit gives them an answer and says, nor any other creature. Name one, suggest one, make one up. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You know, God is the creator of all things in heaven and in earth, and nothing can exist without him. God was, God is, God will forever be. And he's created anything that has existed. And we're told in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And if someone ever asks you, well, when did God originate? You just say, in the beginning, God. That's the answer to that question. Don't try and give them a date. There is none. He has always been. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And what does it say? All things were made by him, and without him was not made anything that was made. Mark it down. Nothing, not a thing, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when we first started this study, and what a blessed chapter Romans chapter 8 is, I said that if we lived our lives here, we were well on the way to victory by doing that. Now, the opening verse starts in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The closing verse finishes with, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, all the promises in Romans chapter 8 are ours. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
There you go. All the promises and all the power in Romans 8 is ours. How? That's it, in Christ Jesus. That was my wife, top of the class, dear. You're forgiven. That's the truth. Now, chapter 7, go home and have a bit of a read. After the battle with the flesh in chapter 7, chapter 8 describes for us the spiritual person, the one who's in Christ Jesus. And we're reminded in verse 1 that we are free from condemnation. Verse 9 reminds us that the Holy Spirit, but you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But as the believer, the Spirit of Christ dwells within. Verse 14 tells us he leads us daily. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Now, we know we're saved. We know we belong to God because the Holy Spirit, in verse 16, says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, if you bow your head sometime this week and you ask God, say, God, could you really tell me if I'm saved? You'll get an answer. If you belong to him, you'll get the answer. There's nothing surer. He wants you to know that. And we know we're saved. We know we belong to God because the Holy Spirit testifies and brings to our heart the assurance. Look at verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, there are so many truths in this wonderful, wonderful chapter of Scripture. If we begin to memorize it, it will sustain us no matter what. It'll meet the need of our spiritual thirst. It'll fill us with our spiritual hunger. It will uplift our spiritual walk with the Lord. You know, all I can say is what a chapter, what a Saviour, and what a God. Amen? Amen? Absolute security. All because of the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And all the people said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again stand in awe at what you have done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we just sit ourselves down, open up this chapter again, and Lord, may we just look at it one day each week, once each day this week, I should say. Just read through these verses. Doesn't take but a few minutes. And just allow the Holy Spirit to move us deeper and closer in full assurance of the security that we have and enable us to live lives to the glory of your name. These things we pray in the precious name of our Saviour. Amen.